This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to this week's Sunday Show. And I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest, Racing Gold Dynasty, Nina Carberry. Nina, it's such a pleasure to meet you. How are you doing?
Great, Ed. Thanks for having me. Now I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, we'll be talking about all your different accomplishments. You know, your Dancing with the Stars, your fitness family. You have so much to talk about. But I think a lot of people will know you, of course, for your fantastic achievements in racing. And your family, of course, are, as I was saying, a dynasty, really, in Irish racing. It'd be lovely just to get a little bit of a background, I suppose, for people about, you know, the Carberrys, the whole history and of the family and where it all kind of started and where you found your love for racing.
Yeah, I suppose it all started probably with my mother and father. My dad used to ride out for my granddad, Dan Murr, and they had great success together. They won Gold Cups and Grand Nationals, and he went on to marry my mother, Pamela, and they had five boys and one girl, and that was me. And a good few of us turned out to be jockeys. Paul, very successful jockey, champion rider, and my brother Philip, who's out in France at the minute, won champion hurdle, he won an English Irish national, and yeah, very, very, very accomplished riders and done so well. So it was lovely to follow in their footsteps. And my brother Peter, who's the youngest brother now, is still riding at the minute, and he's doing very well. So it's great.
Yeah, no, amazing. Now, I suppose your dad, Tommy, of course, who would be famous, he, you know, I mean, Lescargo, I suppose a lot of people would remember, you know, one of the greatest wins of all time. For you, I mean, looking at all of this growing up, this must have been something incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an incredible era of time when racing was, you had Red Rum and as you said, Lescargo and Tide Cottage as well, who's a Gold Cup winner. And it was amazing watching all the tapes back then and putting in the tapes and watching the old Grand Nationals. And for me, it was probably the bug that got me that I really wanted in my, I suppose, in the future that I actually would have a chance to ride in a Grand National one day, and such a dream come true when I actually did get to ride in it. But Dad just had such great history in racing, and yeah, everyone seemed to love Dad when he was a rider, but he was just as good a trainer when he turned training as well.
Yeah, no, of course, I mean, absolutely. Now, I mean, another famous horse, of course, your brother Paul rode as well, Bobby Joe, I think in a way opened up a whole kind of era of winners, didn't it? After Lescargo, incredible, and the way the Irish and that competition, I suppose, between Ireland and England, but it was phenomenal stuff as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. It was stuff for dreams. Obviously, there hadn't been a winner since Lescargo of the English National, an Irish winner, and Bobby Joe was the next one. So it was actually unbelievable. It was a dream come true, and he was actually a stone out of the handicap to run. So nowadays, you wouldn't even get a run, you know. So it was actually incredible that an Irish horse goes over there, wins a stone out of the handicap, and wins. But as you said, after that, the likes of Monty's Pass, Hedge Hunter, Papillon, all these horses came along and won. So it was like, it was just a trailblaze and was great. And yeah, we're still going over and winning.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Cheltenham now, I suppose, what was it, 25-5, was it? I mean,
yeah.
Domination completely. But I suppose we can touch on that a little bit later as well. I mean, I suppose the difference, I suppose, in the competition between here and the UK, really, you know, and it's become really interesting over the years. But for yourself, you know, your mum, I mean, was it a decision? I mean, always difficult. You've got two young kids now yourself,
yeah,
as well. And when you come to your mum and you say, I want to be a jockey, like, heart failure, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it just sprung from ponies, really. We always, like, the lads ahead of me, there was like four brothers older than me, so they all had ponies, so I got a good few hand-me-downs and we got a good bit of practice in. But I think one day, it didn't really have one day that I was going to go and ride, but in a race, it was one day Barry Geraghty came in and he said, there's a pony race on, meet up the road, will you like to go and ride? I was like, I'd love to ride. I didn't have any breeches, I didn't have boots, I barely had a back protector. So off we went and we tried to grab a few things and we went off, and Barry brought me, and it was just gas, and he got me this ride anyway, and I went, and I didn't know the trainer or the owner or anything. It was a little pony race, and sure enough it won, and that definitely gave me the bug, and off we went. And I definitely really enjoyed the pony racing years, because I actually seen the whole of Ireland. My mother used to drive me every weekend, and that was absolutely brilliant and great to be a part of that, and that gave me a great grounding onto then being an amateur.
And I mean do you think it's in, I think it's in people's blood, is it? Because I mean, you obviously were a natural, so you know, it was like duck to water, really, you know, because I think some things can be taught and something, but I mean, you're obviously a very athletic person anyway. Yeah. So that helps, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I was riding from a very young age, so I was always at ease around horses. I never really had to learn any of that aspect of it, so that was a kind of, I suppose, I was ahead that way, you know. And having like the likes of my dad behind me and my brothers was like incredible. Like, they're just there for advice straight away, so I definitely had a head start that way. And yeah, and when I turned amateur, I was, you know, I was taking every opportunity I could. I had a lot to improve on, you know, as well, but having those lads behind me and my mother was just unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there is, I mean, obviously there's a lot of danger involved. You're talking with live, you know, horses could be temperamental, and you know better than anybody. You have to have, like, obviously a horse, almost a horse whisperer sort of temperament where, you know, they like you, because if they don't, you're probably in a lot of trouble.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was it difficult then, like, marrying, you know, you have a school and growing up, you know, and was it difficult or was it all pretty easy?
No, yeah. I don't know. Just like, racing takes over your life. It's 24/7. It's 7 days a week. Anyone in racing knows that. And to be honest, it's hard to get the opportunities, but once you get them, you want to keep them. So yeah, getting like relationships with Noel Mead and getting in the door there and having the association with all his owners, and the association I had with Enda Bulger and JP McManus that gave me so many winners at Cheltenham. They're all the people that you want to, I suppose, never let down. So you don't really get a chance to go on your holidays or anything, because there's racing every day of the year nearly, and back then. And yeah, so that was kind of a big sacrifice that you don't really get to kind of travel a little bit. That's probably one aspect I do regret, that I never got to travel as much, but now I will, and we'll bring the kids along. Yeah. But yeah, there is things like that, and obviously kids had to wait until my career. I was satisfied that I was ready to have kids as well.
Of course, in terms of when you realised that you were going to get to race in, of course, your famous, the Irish National, the Grand National Charity, how did that sort of come about?
Yeah, I rode quite a light weight, and so I was able to ride a bottom weight basically, and had a lot of experience. So my uncle Arthur got me to school this horse called Organised Confusion a couple of weeks beforehand, and he was aiming for the Irish National, and he was going to have a light weight. So Arthur was kind of keeping me in mind for the horse, if the weight was going to stay low, you know. So I was coming in for the ride. So I had him schooled and everything, and quite excited. And when I heard that the horse had the light weight, I got the ride, and off we went. And I think he could have been backed in nearly favourite on the day, but I tried not to think about that. And off we went, and sure enough, he won. And it was absolutely the dream to ride in the Irish National, but to win it, and, you know, following the footsteps of my father and my two brothers was incredible, and my granddad.
Yeah.
So it was definitely, it's a race that's steeped in history and great to be part of, and it's only 5 minutes up the road from me, so it's a lot of local people as well that were...
Oh no, it's tremendous. I mean, I remember it was one of the best, most amazing races ever, and I mean, you didn't just win it by a nose or anything.
No,
you
know, yeah.
And of course, you had a loose horse racing your left as well. And I mean, that could have been quite perilous if he was inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was a bit wary, but I was happy enough that he was on my outside, and he was actually keeping my horse company. So thank God he didn't interfere with me or anything, but he actually kind of probably kept me going to the end as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely incredible. And I mean, for yourself as well, I suppose, you know, being a female, which would have been a male dominated sport, and it is a sport that seems to be very fair in terms of, I mean, when you look at all the greats like Katie Wall,
yeah,
of course, Rachel Blackmore,
yeah,
and going way back, I suppose, to, was it Anne Ferris, was it
exactly,
way back in the early
days? Yeah.
I mean, there's some amazing women in it, but now it seems to be really kind of, it's almost like in football and rugby, it's come on in leaps and bounds for women.
Yeah,
it?
It's brilliant. There was a massive gap, as you say, Anne Ferris winning the Irish National to the kind of the era of myself, Katie, Lisa O'Neill, Rachel Blackmore. There was so many girls coming along in my time. So it was lovely that we all kind of came together. But there was a gap of about, I'd say, 20 years of no real kind of girls riding against professionals or kind of, you know, riding in Cheltenham. Or so it was brilliant to come along with all those real good girls and look what we've done. Like, you know, we've won in Cheltenham and Rachel's gone on again to turn professional and win the Gold Cup and the English Grand National, which is like what everyone wants to do, you know. So she got it done, and listen, we didn't have to wait too long, but it was brilliant to see it.
No, absolutely. And I mean, for you now as well, of course, you know, you work with horses, of course, you're trading them, you buy and sell horses. Was it difficult? I know the retiring, because I mean, it was quite young, I guess, as well. Was that a period, a difficult decision?
Yes, no, I always wanted a family and I didn't want to leave it too late that, you know, that it didn't happen. So I wanted to give it the time. And listen, Rosie came along in the last year as I was riding, and I just decided I didn't want to have her in creche all the time. And, you know, I wanted to enjoy her and say, yeah, like, it's probably one of the best things that ever happened in my life. So yeah, when she came along, things started to turn different and I needed to kind of concentrate on my business side of it, that I was going to buy and sell. And I had that up and running, but not at a level that I needed to be doing it fully, you know. So I wanted to drive that on a bit more, and that was kind of what route I was going to take, kind of, you know. So, but the riding, definitely giving it up was something that I took a long time to get over, you know, that adrenaline buzz that you miss and that winning feeling that you don't get anywhere else, you know, you just don't. So, and even that buzz of, you know, riding different horses and in about those big days, you know, in Cheltenham and Aintree, that's what it's all about. And that's what I really, really missed. I really missed being a part of that. And especially when I got those partnerships with Noel Mead and Endon, and watching those horses go and win, and it's a little bit of torture, really. But once you kind of get your head around, no, that's not my life anymore, I have to move on, I got my head around it eventually.
When you're racing like that, when you know, like, as in your big victory in the Irish Grand National, when did you kind of, I know you get asked this all the time, right, when did you kind of feel, I might looks like I'm going to win this?
Oh, in the Irish National, like, you're hoping that the horse keeps jumping well, and once you get into rhythm, you kind of have a feel that this horse is really enjoying it and he's saving energy all the time. And you know that I had a light weight that day, and it actually went a very quick pace, so I knew they were going to come back. And the light weight towards the end of a race is always a massive advantage, so I knew I had that up my sleeve as well, and I hadn't really used him anywhere through the race, you know, his energy was conserved, so he had a really good chance. So when I kind of cleared the third last, I really hoped that I was going to get the last two out of the way, and off we went.
Yeah, and then of course you went out on a high as well, when before you retired, your Punchestown, I think, that was your victory there as well.
Yeah, for Enda and JP on Josie's orders, that was unbelievable day. And yeah, I kind of made my decision a couple of weeks before that Punchestown was going to be my last Punchestown festival, and yeah, and my last probably ride was going to be for Enda. So it was magical going out on Josie's orders, who had won on previous before a couple of times as well, and he just zoomed around as if winning was not, like, we had to win, there was nothing else, it was an option. So it was just going to win, and that was it. He was brilliant.
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to take a little break now, and we're talking about winning, and we're going to come back, we're going to talk about all sort of Dancing with the Stars. We are very good at winning, Nina, so we'll have a chat about that as well.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Show with my very special guest this evening, Nina Carberry. Now, Nina, we were chatting about your fabulous achievements there earlier on the racetrack, and now, of course, on the dance floor, right? That's it. I mean, Dancing with the Stars. Now, you really, I saw you last year, and you really came across to me as a woman that once you get the bit between your teeth, right, pardon the pun, you're off, and there'll be nothing stopping you. You're a bit of a perfectionist, are you?
I didn't think so, but no, obviously, when I do something, I try, like, to do the best I can and to be the best I can at it. And when I started Dance with the Stars, I took it on. I don't know why I took it on.
They told you it was only going to be 12 hours.
Yes.
But you know, our teeth, they should be lying through their teeth.
Yeah. Like, I tell you only what I got the steps in. Never mind anything else. The hands would have been anywhere. But anyway.
It's just going in and out of the studio.
Yeah. the graft.
So it took over your life.
It did. It took over my life. I don't think I seen my husband. I'd say I seen my husband coming, getting into bed and out of bed. And then probably at Christmas time. That was probably it. Because I obviously had the horses on the go in the morning. So I was up quite early and get them all done. Pick up the girls from school and then have them probably for an hour or two. And then head off training for about 5 hours. So it literally took up my whole life. And then the weekends are obviously gone. For the show and the rehearsals and everything. So yeah, it was an amazing show to be part of, but it definitely was. I honestly didn't think I was going to stay in that long, to be honest. I thought I was going to be brutal at it. And I was at the start. I was so bad and I was nearly crying every night for the first week after rehearsals going, I actually can't do this. Like, I'm going to be humiliating myself. Like, but anyway, I had to put the graft in and thank God I had Pasquale Rocca, who was an unbelievable taskmaster, and he's just incredible, and had obviously the gift and the talent to teach me from from literally very basic to getting me to the caliber I was towards the end was actually phenomenal what he'd done.
And I mean, had you done, I mean, were you twinkle toes before that? Like, we always out dancing.
I think.
The 24 hours with the horse.
I said it to a few of my friends. I was going to go on Dancing with the Stars and all they did was laugh because I'm so pigeon toed and like two left feet. Terrible. Like, so they were, I'd say they were fearful for me as well. And I'd say they were quite shocked then what Pasquale whipped me into, but he was amazing. But definitely we went through some tough times trying to get through a lot of the dances. You know, it's a lot of mental frustration, and trying to learn new dances every week is actually...
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, you know, even some the mention of some of the moves.
Oh my God. Like, watching it back over, like, the last 2 weeks there of the this year's one is like a breath of fresh air. I'm like, now they know what I'm talking about. But it's actually cool watching it back and seeing all the new celebs doing it this year.
Yeah, and I mean, as you said, like, when Pasquale, I mean, really, I suppose, like a good trainer, right? If you use the analogy, I mean, well, he obviously had a very good horse, right? I mean, that breeding,
well,
you know, you were obviously prime candidate because of your, you know, your athletic ability and stuff. But it was amazing to watch your transformation, which did happen quite quickly. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that would give a lot of people inspiration, because it was amazing. I mean, your waltz at the end, I mean, it was like, oh, perfection.
No, it was actually, it was incredible. Yeah. To go from like a quick step, which I was so nervous doing, and even watching back now, I barely even like open my arms to even like, you know, to dance, you know, and then probably on my last dance to see myself like come out of my own shell, and how Pasquale done that and gave me the, I suppose, courage to come out and do it, you know, because I could do it all week, but like to come out in front of Ireland and dance, you know, you're so vulnerable and you're up being criticised all the time as well. So it's, you are putting yourself out there big time to get, you know, slated, basically.
Yeah. But I mean, that was something I heard you talking about before as well, in terms of even with racing. I mean, you know, isn't it a huge thing, like the confidence? And I mean, I think people underestimate, you know, the mindset in the whole thing, just, you know, and people, I remember one of, I think it was looking at all the interviews of your dad or one of the other trainers saying about how the horses would pick up, you know, and that if you got on a horse and you were a bit nervous and somebody else is confident, they run a better race.
Oh,
you know, it's almost
time.
The same sort of idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like horses jumping as well. As you said, like, you know, if you have confidence in a horse jumping, they'll jump better for you, you know, and you often see certain jockeys getting a better tune out of certain horses because they're riding with confidence and they're riding winners, and that's how that all kind of leads on, you know, and the snowball's on and the confidence grows, and that's, yeah, it's a great example, I suppose, yeah.
And the other thing, I suppose, that you would have learned as a jockey would be discipline, and I mean, in terms of diet, right? I mean, that must be a huge part of the whole, and the mind, that must be a huge part of it as well.
Definitely discipline and the dedication, I think, as well, to the whole racing industry, you know, and being, you have to get up every day to exercise them and to be fed, and, you know, there's no snowy day in, you know, in racing. You have to to get up and do it. And yeah, like, it's just, you know, the focus as well is one that definitely coming to the big days or any day, you have to leave everything at home and you have to just think of the race, what you're riding in. You know, you can't just drift off and forget
focused.
So yeah, that probably helped me in Dance with the Stars as well, that, you know, you have to leave things at home and just concentrate on what you're doing. So yeah, that really helps.
Yeah, it was absolutely, it was great to watch it anyway. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And then, of course, Ireland's Fittest Family. Just another little thing, right?
Yeah.
So, again, huge thing there with exercise and wellness.
Great.
I mean, again, the competitive streak, you know.
I love it.
How did all that come about?
That was brilliant, yeah. I'd competed with Katie Walsh. She had a team in the celebrity one, and myself, Ruby, and their brother-in-law competed in the celebrity one. So we won that, and it was like we'd retired. So myself, Katie, and Ruby had all retired before. So it was brilliant to, I suppose, do a bit of competitiveness again. And as a team, it was brilliant to win it. And so that was kind of 2 years before Dance with the Stars. And Dervla Rourke, I think, was bowing out the last year. And I got asked to do it, and it was absolutely something that I would always love to have done. And I took it on and really, really enjoyed it. Do it with Anna Geary and Donica O'Callaghan and Davey Fitzgerald. So they're a great bunch and quite a tight-knit family as well. They know what's going on and they've been doing it for a good few years. So I was coming on as a newbie. So it was nice. It was good. I really enjoyed it and I'd love to do it again. And I think the relationship you have with the families, trying to get them over the line and, you know, trying to get the best out of them as well, is something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and I think when you see like Operation Transformation, you know, see it's always so great to see, you know, with everyone talking about, you know, how obesity is such a big problem these days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you're very passionate about. And coaching is something that you're doing now as well with that show, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, you know, it's all about, like, these kids have been watching this since they were like young, you know. So this year we had the Fitzsimons, who they had a 14 and I think it was 15 or 16 year old on it. So they were only waiting to turn that. So that gives them drive to actually get fit and do all these, you know, these really hard obstacles and events to try and but they were incredible. They only got pipped on the line. So it was brilliant. It was probably one of the youngest teams that ever had got, you know, so far. So that's bringing on all those young kids as well to inspire them that they can actually go and do this. So it's a brilliant show to be part of. And I think it captures that, you know, all the families of Ireland, and everyone tunes in, I think, to watch it because it's, you know, everyone can be a part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a very productive program. Like, you know, you watch reality TV, there's so much, I won't use the word, so much rubbish.
Love Island.
I prefer to, you know, stick pins in the eyes or something.
Yeah,
I mean, for me,
yeah,
that's just, it's not possible at all. But it is true, isn't it? Because it is so productive. And, you know, at the end of it, like, you see such great results. I mean, just talk to us about now your main business, which is, of course, again, with horses. Mm. How does that work in terms of your normal day and all?
Yeah, like, I'm still getting up, obviously, every morning, and I have a few horses with that I trade with and buy and sell. So they all have to be looked after as well. But I do little bits on the side. I recently did my first co-MC with Des Cahill for the HRI Awards, which I really enjoyed. And
yes,
I'd love to.
Very good job.
Yeah. I'd love to get more
Watch
into
out,
that.
Des.
No, I don't think he's not under pressure at all, but he's
never going to retire anyway.
He minded me very well, but he was a great mentor. And yeah, I'd love to do a bit more of that and a bit more speaking and, yeah, kind of something that I've trying to get better at, you know. So I really struggled with that for a long time. And I think Dance with the Stars definitely gave me the confidence to come out there and I suppose speak to a big crowd. And you can only get better if you keep doing it. So I'd love to get more into that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, it's like you hear people, stand-up comedians, that they talk about the stand-up, you know, and people say, oh, it's the hardest thing to do. But yet, when you get used to it,
yeah,
you know, then it becomes easier. But for yourself as well, I mean, that's a great way, really, as you said, like, you're inspiring people and you're bringing all your experience. And, of course, a lot of fun involved. I mean, you know, you must have had great crack over the years.
Yeah,
you know,
like...
The stories you could tell.
Exactly, yeah. And just kind of, yeah, I obviously inspire young girls, women, anything, you know, lads. lads coming on and in as young jockeys as well, I'd love to help out that way. So talking is a great thing to do, and I'd love to try and get better at it and keep going that way.
Yeah, of course.
Way.
And I mean, you know, I mean, look, it's not, it's like every game is with rugby, and, you know, it's not, God, we saw there very sad last year, Henry de Bromhead's, you know, son, what happened there, and the pony thing down in Kerry. Yeah. Of course, there is the dangerous element, isn't there,
as well?
And
yeah.
I know even in the Grand National, they've changed, I mean, the way that everything is done with animal rights over the last few years as well. So there's a lot of really good stuff has happened, hasn't there?
But oh, yeah,
you're always going to have an element of...
Oh, definitely. Anything to do with animals is a risk anyway, you know, and definitely horse racing is probably, like, they go around, you're followed by ambulance, you know, so it is a risky, risky sport. And if you can get out the other side in one piece, you're doing very well, you know, so I'll always respect that. And I am out the other side, thank God. But yeah, but it's a brilliant sport to be part of, and yeah, they're trying their best to obviously do the best they can that way.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying, I mean, Fairy House, of course, is on your doorstep, and it was great, you're very near you. But I mean, it's a huge thing for rural Ireland as well, isn't it? I mean, horse racing, I mean, it's kind of in our blood here. And we were chatting there about the Irish English, you know, Cheltenham, of course, but the 25-5, you know, the way that Ireland seems to have really come on over the years. Now, I know we have great Gordon Elliott, Willie Mullins, Emmett Mullins now, Paul Byrne, as you said, Noel Mead, Jessica Harrington, I mentioned Henry there. We seem to have been really lucky. Whatever it is here in Ireland, we seem to really have almost got the edge in terms of really excellence in the whole sport, don't we?
Unbelievable, yeah. When you think of all the trainers we have, like Gordon is doing unbelievable. Like, we've just got amazing trainers as well, and that attracts good owners. You know, the owners want to be with the best trainers, and I think, I suppose, the way the prize money has gone over in England, the owners have come to Ireland.
That's another thing, isn't it? Yeah. The prize money, it's amazing. It's become much, it's more tighter here, of course, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, and they've come this side, I say, because the trainers are just as good, if not better, than the English one. You know, we have the likes of Aidan O'Brien, champion trainer for I don't know how many years on the flat, and his son now, Joseph, who does a good bit of jumping as well, and he's definitely dominant on the flat as well. And then we have Gordon and Willie, who are like you know, trying for to be champion trainer every year. So we've got a lot of competitiveness between them all, but definitely I think all that attracts the best owners, and that's what we have at the minute, and that gets you the best horses. So that's probably why we've tilted the decade of probably winning a Cheltenham for so long.
Yeah, I mean, your business, I would guess, I mean, is it a highly competitive business, or is it sort of a niche area, really? It's just kind of hard to, because it's not something that everybody would be an expert at, and through being a jockey, I suppose, you really get to know your stuff, don't you?
Oh, yeah, like, you're watching, like, it's pedigrees and everything, it's the knowledge of it all, and, yeah, you're watching racing every day, and what horses are doing well, and you're hoping to buy maybe their sibling, or, you know, maybe have the mare along the way, or go to France and try and pick up something, you know, along the way as well. So yeah, you're always kind of keeping your eye even on the foreign end of it, trying to, you know, get something that's a bit unique.
Yeah, I think somebody said to me the other day that they asked JP McManus how many horses he had, and he kind of just laughed, you
know. I wouldn't like to ask him either.
Like, I haven't a clue. I don't know anyway, but that was great.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Show with my guest this evening, Nina Carberry. Nina, very interesting to chat to you there earlier about, I suppose, the state of play for, you know, racing at the moment here in Ireland. When you did retire, right, and you were sort of finished with being a jockey and stuff, I remember you were saying that you kind of were at a bit of a loss. I mean, I think for all sports people, that's probably a big challenge, isn't it? And then was that a time when you said to yourself, okay, what am I going to do now? What's my passion?
Yeah, I always had it in the back of my mind that I wanted to kind of work with horses. Obviously, I was buying and selling a few on the side anyway, but that wasn't kind of happening quick enough for me to kind of support my own, you know, to live off. So that was what, probably for the first 2 years of my retirement, was probably the hardest of building up my own business and trying to get it going. And that's what I really struggled with, not having anything to fill that void of, I suppose, winning. And yeah, it's very hard just to retire and not have... Like, you know, that competitiveness is just gone. It's just left from you, you know, and you feel it's such a downer, you know, because you've put so much effort into the I put so much effort into the last 15 years before I gave up, that like once that goes, you don't know what you're doing, you know. So it took a while to get my head around it, but once I kind of got my business up and going again, and that kind of started to ease a little bit, you know. But definitely Dancing with the Stars was a massive help for me, because I did go into my own shell a little bit after I gave up, because, you know, I obviously had a kid and I was kind of off the,
yeah,
you know.
That was sad because I think 2017, Rosie, and then, yeah, of course, sadly, Tommy, your dad, passed away.
Yeah,
that was tough.
Yeah, it was an odd kind of year. It was, yeah, weird. And it was nice that I actually had the time to be around before Dad passed away. So in that kind of, it's weird things happen in a way, you know. But yeah, so Dance with the Stars came along, as I said, and gave me kind of a new lease of life, I have to say, and opened a lot of opportunities for me.
For people also interested in, I suppose, in the whole business, like, Ireland has become a real centre of excellence as well, all over the world, hasn't it?
That's incredible.
You could have clients from Saudi Arabia, from all over, isn't it? It's very interesting how it's become so international and massive, isn't it?
Yeah, the flat industry in the racing is worldwide. There's no doubt. It's from Australia to America. It's worldwide. So it's a brilliant industry to be part of. The flat industry is just incredible.
And now that you have time, are you travelling now? Or because you were saying that you always wanted to travel, right?
Yeah.
So now you've got, well, you do have the kids, of course.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know.
No,
easy.
Yeah.
I mean, is there more plans?
Oh, definitely.
That.
We're making plans. We went to Tenerife last year anyway. So, yeah. So once the kids get a little bit older, we can start to spread our wings a little bit. But definitely love to get out and travel and show the kids as well where we're heading to. And it'd be lovely for them to be involved in it too.
Now, you're looking very, very healthy. And as I said earlier, I told you earlier, you're the most glamorous jockey that I've ever met. And I've met that many of them now. But you also work with, I mean, you do other things. You work with cosmetics,
yeah,
as well. And
yeah.
Very sustainable, and then you work with the children's book companies,
yeah,
and stuff. So it's really interesting. All the tell us a little bit about these other things that you do as well.
Yeah, AYU is a great makeup company. It's brilliant to be part of. Susie O'Neill is the director of it, and obviously it's her own company. So it's brilliant to be part of. And I know her from kind of years ago as well. We were in the same pony club. So it was actually makeup that I used previous before I became brand ambassador, and it's lovely to be part of that. And it's lovely to support the Irish as well. Yeah, and the Johnny McGorry books, they're great. They're Kildare based as well, and the girls love them books, and it's lovely to, obviously, an Irish writer as well, so it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, in terms of your philosophy, now we're in a new year here, 2023, you know, a lot of people are trying to, you know, lose weight. I'd say you'd be great to come out with a fitness regime or a book or something, and I'm sure, you know, especially with all the fantastic, you know, years that you've had. I mean, is that something you're also passionate about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love being fit, and the feeling you get from being fit is incredible. And it's a great mindset to be in, and feeling that you've got your goal done for the week, you know. And even myself, when I'm trying to drag myself off the couch just to go and do something, you know, go to the gym or go to my Pilates class, and you feel so much better when you come back. And it's just the effort of that 5 minutes of, am I going to stay on the couch or will I get up and do it? It's the effort of, I mean, your little mind is telling you, no, come on, just stay and watch another episode of whatever you want to watch. But like, you actually have to tune in and get those little bad lads telling you, go away and stop telling me no.
Yeah, I know. It's like doing what you have to do when you don't want to do it. Or
exactly. That's all you have to get over. Yeah. And I think once you can get into, I think the main thing is getting into a habit and a routine. And once that happens, then you're away. It's like quitting smoking. It's like, thank God I never smoked. I think it's probably one of the hardest things to do is probably quitting the habit, you know, and that's probably what it all is about.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing as well is we always remember Black Beauty. I'm giving away my age now. Remember Black Beauty?
I do.
Girls, and, you know, the music was fabulous. Mm. But for girls nowadays that want to, you know, learn, you know, to be a jockey, whatever, I mean, has it changed totally? Or,
yeah.
So, I mean, and you're part of that, of course.
I think it's gone 50-50 in the apprentice school in racing in Kildare, and that's an unbelievable achievement. I think they didn't think that was going to happen for another 10-15 years, so for it to happen now, and it's 50-50, boys, girls, that's incredible. So if we can, you know, keep getting these girls and seeing what they're made of, you know, and we could be very successful, you know, now. It mightn't be as male dominant anymore, you know?
Yeah, of course. But you're working now in your day-to-day stuff, and you're picking winners, and you're like, you have an eye, right? What is the secret of success? I mean, you know, I know, of course, everything, so many elements, like nutrition, not giving away your secrets here.
No, right?
But you obviously, you know, you have to have a nose for it, right? Or
picking a winner, picking the horses.
Yeah, but yeah, obviously, you know, exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I won't ask you, we can ask you for a few tips maybe for Easter. But no, I'm just thinking in terms of the expertise that you gather.
It's all about probably the groundwork you do and probably at the sales and stuff, and keeping an eye on racing and what horses are related to when winners, and, you know, I suppose the trends of what happens in families and watching all that happening. But yeah, it's probably the work you do with the sales and having probably good guidance as well, and yeah, just being kind of on the ball, really.
And when you're watching, you know, you're obviously probably at loads of races. I was still, you know, you take a huge part in it. When you're watching all the races now and everything like that, I mean, do you still get that sense of like, I'm sure you still ride horses?
Of
course.
So. Yeah, not as much anymore. It used to kill me, but now I don't have that urge to go out, and maybe I'd like to do a charity race here, maybe one of the times, but no, I don't feel like I want to go back riding in races. But I love and I watch and I love and I enjoy really good racing, yeah.
And like Cheltenham now again, of course, isn't it great? I mean, for the whole COVID thing, that was really, I mean, I suppose that was just so difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean for you and for everybody else, it was almost like paralysis, and then for the industry. And
yeah, they did great though. In fairness to Jennifer Pugh in Ireland, like, she kept the whole thing on the go here and, you know, got everyone with their medical, you know, sheets, and they had to obviously sign in and sign out, but it was kept going, and I suppose it's probably one of the only sports that was able to keep going, which was brilliant. And then we got to have Cheltenham that year. Sure, we didn't know what was going to happen, but it happened, and Rachel Blackmore had probably her best year that year, so it was the rise of her as well that came through that. So it was brilliant that it was actually able to have it.
And when you look at and you were saying there, when you were brought up with lots of brothers, right? You know, I think it toughens you up, because, I mean, look, when you see Rachel Blackmore there, she wins three or four, then she has three terrible falls.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you guys are made of real stern, tough stuff.
I definitely wouldn't be made of what Rachel is made of. I don't think I could have taken those falls. She might be made of something else. Unbelievable. Yeah, no, definitely. You definitely need a tough skin in the racing circuit. You have to take every criticism, because you're up for criticism every day of the week, and you have to take it on the chin and not curl into a ball. And that's probably what served me well through my years of riding, that I didn't shy away from criticism. I took it on board. Maybe I took it on too much, you know. So it's a level that you need to be able to handle. Maybe you grow better at it, that to take the criticism and not make it go to your head, you know. You have to take it, but you have to get better from it, you know.
Of course, that really
helped.
I remember I heard you saying in another interview, I don't know, was it your dad, someone said to you, well, you had a bad day, you know, just you're out of your mind, gone, forget about it, it's done, and off we go the next day.
Yeah, you can't change it.
What was the best, if I could ask you, what was the best advice you ever got?
In racing, probably my dad always said, always win your race once, don't come like a second time to try and win it. So if you hit the front, make sure you're near the line when you hit the front. So that's always something that's always been in the back of my head, and I suppose it can work for other things as well if I think about it. But yeah, it was probably one of the best things he's ever told me.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Nina, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on the Sunday show. And every success for the future, and I'm sure whatever you're going to be doing now aside from the horses, I think big plans ahead. Thank you so much. That's Nina Carberry.
Thanks, Ed.